Your name is powerful names, and we're thankful for that. So, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will be with us in this room. So when we worship you, we worship from our heart. And whatever prayer we offer to you, you would listen and you would bless the prayer from us. For the rest of the time, we're going to listen to the message. So I pray the Holy Spirit will be with me, using me to share the message from the Scripture and only from the Scripture. And I pray the Holy Spirit would be in the heart of the people in this room so that they can hear your voice and apply the lesson today for their life. Everything we do for your glory, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue the series, Faith in Action. If you read the Bible in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7 to 12, you can thinking about patience in suffering. However, from my perspective, I like the title of power, patience, because when you understand about patience and how to apply patience in your life or for whatever you do, it's power. And I will look from that perspective. You would find out when James, in chapter 1, he still addressed the suffering set, the people at that time, when he wrote, be patient. And that his counsel right at the beginning of the book James, chapter 1. And his counsel and his letter came to close. Now we get to chapter 5. God is not going to right on the wrong of this world until Jesus Christ returns. So if you read the newspaper or sometime lately the news, not that good. And sometimes you question why God didn't do anything right or correct the problem. And the Bible, or at least James, tried to communicate with the world, God is not going to do right on the wrong in this world until Jesus Christ returns. So we are, as a Christian, the believer, we must be patient and endure and expect things would not be good in the future. I'm talking about from society perspective. And before I do the sermon, a couple of things I would refresh you from the last sermon or a couple of sermons before that. Because when you study the book of James, he always reminding us about the coming of the Lord. And the book of Titus kept talking about the blessed hope. But during the process of explaining about the suffering, the patience, all of that stuff, he used two different words for patience. And I want to make sure you and I, we have the same definition on the word. He used the word long-suffering. Long-suffering is mean, refer patient with respect to persons. Okay, some of you marry, so sometimes you have long suffering. It means you have to patient with respect to your spouse, to your husband, and to your wife. The same thing in the church. As long as we deal with the people, we will experience the long suffering. So that reason why James said when you experience with a long suffering, it means you need to be patient with respect to the person. So between people and people, long suffering. He also used the word endurance. Endurance is mean the patient with respect to condition or situation. You would find out through your life, you will deal with a lot of situation, a lot of condition. It's happened to you. And endurance coming in from that perspective. And so when James, he's talking about faith in action, it means, yes, through life, as a Christian, you will deal with the long suffering between the people and people, and also certain situations may happen in your life. You have to go through endurance process, okay, for that situation or the condition. But again, when you read James chapter 5, verse 7 to 12, there's one question, at least from my perspective, we need to answer. How can we as Christians experience this kind of patient endurance as we wait for the Lord to return. And James in chapter 5, he very, very clear, he gave us three encouraging examples of patient endurance. And I pray that when we go through the process of learning, and hopefully we can apply some basic principle of our life. The first one he used as a farmer, be patient. Then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop? Patient waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You, too, be patient and stand firm. Because the Lord coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brother and sister, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So what exactly James tried to communicate or teach the people at that time, or Christian at that time, and for us today? He very much say, hey, if a man is impatient, he had better not become a farmer. Because as a farmer, you would understand no crop would appear overnight. Just no way. No way to happen. No farmer had control over the weather. So number one, you cannot control the seeds. It cannot just put out the seed, well, except check the beanstalk. Okay, throw it down and the next day grow. But normally, or most of the time, when you put out the seed, you don't expect you would harvest the next day. And number two, the farmer cannot control the weather. And go through life, you would find out certain condition or situation you absolutely have no control. And you would find out from the weather, if too much rain would cause a crop to rot. But if not enough rain or the water or too much sun, it also burn up the crops. My wife and I, for the last, 6 months or a year, we become an urban farmer. So we try to grow corn. And we put out the seed in the ground. It's supposed to be 125 seed, and we expect about a week or two it's supposed to be sprout. And it did not happen. Somehow the squirrel or the worm, whatever, kept, you know, eat the seeds. So we had to put the seed the second time, 125 of them. And somehow it's only about 50 or 60 of them sprout. And then we had to take care of it. And luckily, there's some good rain, so it grows real quick. And we had to wait for about 5 months before we can harvest the corn. But it's also during the process of growing corn, we also grow squash underneath and then bean. Okay? And the bean would provide beans, but it also provides the nitrate to fertilize the land. And we also grow the squash in the same piece of land, in order to very much like insect repellents. So we have a squash, bean, and corn. But all three together help each other. So why do I tell you this story? Because sometimes when you go through endurance, trial, chaos, you also need each other. It's just like you grow corn, you need squash to repel the insect attack from it. Insects to the corn, and you have the bean, so it can help to fertilize the land for the next growth. The same thing as a farmer, you have to see ahead of thing may happen. Okay, it can be long suffering between the people and also endurance for thing may happen. You absolutely have no control. So as a farmer, this farmer must have to be have patience with the seed and the crop, because it takes time for the plants to grow. Some of you, very much like email, text, you know, how to grow things, you would learn the lesson of patience when you try, or at least in Houston, become the urban farmer. So why the farmer willing wait so long? Because the fruit is precious. It spell out in James chapter 5, verse 7. The harvest is worth waiting for. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, it says, do for the season we shall reap if we faint not. And Mark kept refresh us about as a farmer. For the earth produces crop by itself, first the blade and then the head, and mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately put in the sickle because the harvest has come. So that in the book of Mark. But again, we talk about that physical thing, but from spiritual perspective, James, he very much picture us, a Christian, as a spiritual farmer. And as a spiritual farmer, we're always looking for the spiritual harvest. So I pray that each one of you, as a Christian, you have to have the image or the attitude of the farmer in mind for whatever you do. Because our heart, like the book of Luke, talking about our heart is the soil, and the seed is the word of God. So I pray to the Lord, if our heart is the soil, and then we need to have the seed of God's word in there so it can grow in you, so eventually it can bear fruit through you. And one of the theologians talking about a heart that is not established, we cannot bear fruit. So what exactly when he talked about established? So it means in your heart you have to have God's word. Of course, when you pray, accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you have salvation. Okay? He is our Lord, and he sits in the throne of our heart. So the time when you pray, accept him, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And the Holy Spirit will help you to understand God's word. It means the seed and help to grow in you. So you become a mature individual, a mature Christian, to bear fruit for him, to the kingdom of God, and to the glory of God. So what is the secret? And the secret of endurance when going tough, basically the secret is God is produced a harvest in our life. He wants the fruit of the Spirit. Some of you already know the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's the secret. So when the seed, God's word, grow in you, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, help you to understand, you would bear fruit. And that spell out in the book of Galatians. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we say, oh, it's easy. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, it sounds so easy. But if your life is so peaceful, so normal, and this thing, you can do it. But again, the test of the fruit of the Spirit had to be tested under the pressure. When you go to work, okay, you work very long days, you get home, your spouse says something, do you have self-control? Do you have endurance? When you have 4 or 5 kids run around, you work all day and you get home and the kid keep nagging and get sick, and you're under stress, do you still have love and goodness, faithfulness, all of that? So the test of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when under pressure, can you have that fruit? Because as a human being, we fake very well. How are you? I'm fine, and we smile. But is it in your heart? Do you really have a choice? Eventually, it will show under the pressure or under the stress. So what I'm trying to communicate is this. The only way the Lord can do the fruit or check out the fruit is through trial and trouble. And the trial and trouble, stress, long suffering, can you handle it? Some of you still in school. If you have one test, one major exam, no problem. What if you have 4 major exams in the same day, within 4 hours span. Can you handle it with love, joy, goodness, or you become grumpy? Okay? So it's so critical to understand this secret. So that's the reason why when you go through life, regardless whatever happened, regardless whatever the stress, pressure, you still have the choice, you still have the peace. And that's the secret of patience and endurance. So you got to understand, instead of growing impatient with God, with ourselves, we must yield to the Lord and permit Him to work in you so the fruit of the Holy Spirit can grow. All of us, we are spiritual farmers looking for a harvest. So you can enjoy this kind of harvest only if you are established. That in James chapter 5, verse 8. But we need to also understand one of the purpose of the spiritual ministry of the local church is to establish the heart. So whatever we try to do in the church, we have to make sure your heart, my heart, your heart, every church member have to have this establishment, establish this, so the Holy Spirit can work in us, so the fruit of the Holy Spirit can grow. A heart that is not established, you cannot bear fruit, real fruit. Second, patience. Second point, he used the image or the example of the prophets. Brother and sister, as an example of patience, in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Suddenly you talk about famine and you switch over the prophets. When James preached about the prophet, the Jewish congregation at that time, they understand right away. Because in the Old Testament prophets, he's talking about the person God very much like ordained and tell about God, about the ministry of God. And even if you start in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ also used a prophet as example of the victory over persecution. So what encouragement do we receive from this example? Number one, you would understand the prophet, they were in the will of God, but they suffer. So all of us here, when you ask the prophet, you share the message about salvation. You share the message of Jesus Christ, believing me as Lord, as Savior to have salvation. Yes, you will be laughed at sometime. Sometime in certain family, you will be persecuted from the family. So that can happen. So even the prophet tell God's word will be suffer. But Satan, they're very smart. He tells the faithful Christian that his suffering is a result of sin and unfaithfulness. So like, well, I'm doing the God word. So why do I have the suffering? And somewhere along the way, Satan will be telling you, maybe you have sin. Maybe the result of sin, maybe because you unfaithfulness, something happened because of you, not follow the law correctly. And suddenly Satan will put the doubt in your mind. The doubt in your mind. And you begin to question about your faith and your belief system. But the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, talking, ye and all that we live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And understand if you review or research on the word persecution. Persecution, it doesn't mean, yes, certain country or back in the old day of Jesus Christ, persecution, it can be you get killed. You'll be killed. Persecution, for the time of James, people may lose jobs. Persecution can be the family, especially in the Vietnamese family, we like gang, you know, group together. So sometimes when you believe in Christ, your family will disown you. A couple of weeks ago, I had a meeting with some of the Vietnamese still in Vietnam. And one young man told me, and this is one form of persecution. Basically, his family threatened him. Okay, he's from a very wealthy family. If you believe in Christ, if you become a Christian, we'll cut your inheritance. Okay, so you become poor. You out there, you work, whatever. So suddenly live in the good house, boom, become a homeless. Suddenly have, you know, this is one of the students, go to Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon to be in school, boom, get cut on the financial support. So in that situation, what can the person do? So that's the challenge some of the Christian or believer we have to face. But one thing we need to remember, we never think, never think that obedience automatically produces ease and pleasure. Okay? Because our Lord, Jesus Christ, do you believe Jesus Christ? He truly obedience to his Father. And what is the result of his obedience? He got there on the cross. Okay? So that's the suffering endurance each one of us we have to go through. But again, the prophets encourage us to remind us God cares for us when we go through suffering for his sake. When Elijah announced the wicked King Ahab that there would be drought in the land for 3.5 years. And when he announced that, Elijah himself also had to go through the suffering. Because it drowned the whole nation, and he had to go through the suffering of that drought. But God cared for him, and God gave him victory over the evil priests of the Baal. And it had been said, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Hopefully, you can remember this one as one of the principles. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So if you summarize the whole Elijah prophet, compress it down, it's only one sentence. Okay? He said the land will be dry for 3.5 years. He himself also had to suffer through that. We don't know how the future holds, but always remember the story of Elijah. Because sometimes God, you know, leading us in a certain way. But remember the grace of God. God will be with you. I had to go quick. And also the third example he used, Job, as you know, we consider, as you know, we count as blessed, those who have persevered. You have heard Job perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above on, my brother and sister, do not swear. Not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. That's a very strange passage here. I'm almost run out of time, so I will cut some of them. You will find out God always tries to balance the privilege and the responsibility. Blessing with burden, or else you and I will become spoiled and pampered children. So when do blessings come from? You would find out when you study Job. You would find out the first three, first of all, when you study Job, the story is very, very strange, especially for the Western mind, because it's very, very long and tedious. It's up to like about 42 chapters to explain about the life of Job. But the first three chapters, you have Job distress. He loses wealth, his family, except for his wife. And his wife told him, hey, commit suicide. God punished you. Kill yourself. And also impact his health. From Job chapter 4 to 31, we read about Job's defense as he debates with his three friends and answers their false accusation. But when, down to chapter 38 to 42, present Job's deliverance. First, God humbled Job, and then he honored Job give him twice as much as I had before. When I'm studying about Job, I learned a couple of things. I learned that Satan always wants us to be impatient with God. Because an impatient Christian is a powerful weapon in the devil's hand. Because when you lost patience with God, you will lose patience with the people and the chaos begin to happen. So suddenly you lose patience with your spouse, maybe you lose patience with God. So when you lose patience between brother and sister, maybe you lose patience with God. Because that's a ripple effect. So what is an answer? Paul, he's talking about, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, thrown in the flesh, was a messenger of Satan. Paul, he could fought it, given up under it, or try to deny that the thorn existed. But he did not. Instead, he trusted God for the grace he needed. And he turned Satan's weapon into the tool for building up his own spiritual life. So any challenge happened to you, use it to strengthen your spiritual life. So, at the conclusion, James wants to encourage us to be patient in time of suffering. Like the farmer, we are waiting for a spiritual harvest, for the fruit that will glorify God. Like the prophet, we look for opportunities for witness to the Lord to fulfill his loving purpose, knowing that he will never cause his children to suffer needlessly. And like Job, we shall have a clearer vision of the Lord when we come to know him better for having been in the furnace of affliction. So the advice James gave to us today, be patient for the coming of the Lord when the day gets nearer. Let us stand up so we can pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to review your word, to review about James, faith in action. We know through our life we're going to face challenge. We have to go through long suffering with the people, and we also endure for whatever the situation you may put in front of us. So I pray that James' word would help us to understand about your love. And you put the challenge in front of us with the only purpose to grow our spiritual life so we can serve you better. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be with all the brother and sister in this room to glorify you and have the power of patience from now and forever. Amen.